الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والجنة للموحدين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: أقم الصلاة لذكري، صدق الله العظيم. All praise and thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He shower His choicest of peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and upon all those who tread his path till the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers, first and foremost, I would like to admonish myself and then to you all to live a life with taqwa, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be conscious of Him, to remember Him at all times, in order to attain the true success in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the true muttaqoon. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Respected brothers, in this khutbah insha'Allah ta'ala, we will be going through certain techniques or methods on how we can improve our salah. So basically we will go through certain pointers related to this, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us His divine assistance to follow what we learn here and at the same time teach it to others. So while we listen to this khutbah here, respected brothers, let us also keep in mind that we need to convey this message to the women folk who are at home, our spouse, our parents, our sisters, so that they also can make their salah better. So with that we get into it, respected brothers. Firstly, when it comes to salah, it is a practice which we have been doing throughout our life from the time we were around 7 years. The environment, in fact all of us or most of us, were in an environment where we saw our parents pray, we saw our elders pray, and at one point when we were 7-8 years old, gradually our parents got us to pray. And then we learned certain rulings related to salah. We went to the madrasa when we were small. Our hazrat, the imams, taught us the rulings. This is wajib, this is sunnah. And then we continued. And today, some of us who are here are praying for the last maybe 6-7 decades. 60 years of salah, 50 years of salah. Some of us here. So while this is the truth, this is the fact, but what is the status of our salah, which all of us need to ask? Because perfecting our salah is a continuous journey. Perfecting our salah is a continuous journey. It doesn't stop in the middle. It is something a person needs to keep on doing and training. And when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his salah has to be in a state that he can present that salah to his creator Allah. So all of us have to remember this. And when we keep this in mind, respected brothers, we will work towards perfecting it, making it better day by day. And if we are to ask ourselves, we need to pose certain questions to ourselves. For example, is salah connected to my life or is it a total different action? Is it connected to my life or is it disconnected from my life? What is the sensation I have? How do I feel after my salah is over? When we look at the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he told Bilal radiallahu anhu, it was time for salah, and he said, Ya Bilal, aqim is salah. O Bilal, call iqama for salah. Arihna biha. Arihna biha. We need to attain tranquility, comfort, calmness, serenity, peace. O Bilal, call iqama. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us in that particular statement, salah brings peace to you. Salah brings comfort to you. Bilal, we are humans. We have so many other commitments. We are in a tired day. But 4 raka'at, 2 raka'at, 3 raka'at should bring comfort once we give salam. What is the quality of our salah? What is the state of my mind before salah and what is the state of my mind after salah? One aspect of salah is, respected brothers, that which is got to do with the fara'id, what is obligatory, what is sunnah. That is one aspect of salah. But there are different aspects related to salah. For example, understanding what we are saying in salah. That's a total different section. From the time we say Allahu Akbar until we say Assalamu Alaikum, what am I saying? What am I saying? Every day I recite Surah Al-Fatiha minimum 17 times. What am I saying to my Allah? What am I uttering with my tongue? Imagine 17 times a day. If it is for 10 days, it's 170 times. And every month we are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha hundreds of times. But what am I saying? So that is one aspect we need to focus on. Then we have the inner dimensions of salah. That is the concentration. To what extent do I remember my Creator while in salah? When all these are put together, and once the salam is given, what do I do after my salah is over? Am I a person who rushes out of the masjid? Or am I the person who folds the musalla soon after my salam? Or do I sit there few minutes remembering Allah? When all these are included, if you take salah as a complete package, if all these are inclusive in that salah, that is the salah which will bring peace to a person's heart. If any of these things are lacking, then that true comfort and peace will not be enjoyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to attain that sweetness in salah. Moving on, respected brothers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a hadith, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask a servant of his on the day of Qiyamah is with regard to salah. If the salah is in a sound condition, if it is healthy, all his other actions are going to be healthy, sound. But if salah is unhealthy, all his other actions are going to be unhealthy. What does that mean? Salah has a direct impact on our lives. It has a direct impact on our family lives, our parenting, our business dealing, you name it. All that has a connection with salah. How come? How come salah is connected to our day-to-day life activities? It is because, respected brothers, when we understand what we say in salah, then it is easy to digest it. All of us in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Example. Ya Allah, guide me towards the straight path. That's what it means. اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Ya Allah, guide me towards the straight path. So when a person recites this verse, while understanding what it means, he keeps on telling Allah, Ya Allah, keep me on the right track. Guide me towards the right track. Imagine 17 times consciously a person says this. And when it comes to his real life, it is going to be easy for him. And looking at the salah, the timings of each salah, respected brothers, Fajr is at a particular time, Dhuhr is at a particular time. And we do different activities during those times. At 1 PM, we will be busy in our office or bazaar. And now a person says, اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And he goes to his shop, his office or whatever his work. Now it's a moment for him to lie. It is a moment for him to cheat. It's a good opportunity. Instead of capitalizing that, the dua he made is going to remind him that you sought Allah for guidance. Why are you doing this? It's wrong. This is how in the long run, a salah with quality will have an impact in life. Similar with other things. How does it affect his dealings with his spouse? He starts to realize while in salah, he's calling his Rabb, he's calling his Creator, and he starts to realize, there is a being who is powerful than me, and on the day of Qiyamah, I'm going to stand in front of my Allah, and I am responsible, I will be accountable to my roles in life. He reminds himself on this. He says, Maliki Yawmiddin, the Lord of the Day of Judgment. He says that, and master of the day of judgment. And now what comes to mind? On the day of Qiyamah, I am going to stand in front of my Allah and I am going to give accounts to him. And now he starts playing his roles in a better way. So respected brothers, Salah has a huge impact in our lives, and it should be a focus of each and every one of us who are here. Whether you are a young boy or an elderly person, it doesn't matter. But focus on improving your Salah. Now let's move on to certain techniques. Firstly, respected brothers, there are certain preparations we need to do before Salah starts. Before Salah starts. Because all of us are human beings. We are not angels. For us to come and stand in the Saf or stand on the Musalla and immediately get the perfect concentration is not easy. We are human beings. But what can be done? Number one is, respected brothers, we need to focus, along with wudu being perfect and all that aspects, yes, has to be focused on. But let's focus on something got to do with the mental preparation. We need to prepare our mind for Salah. Sometimes some people enter into Salah or start Salah thinking it is a performance. It is a responsibility which they owe to Allah, so they want to make sure they fulfill it, and then they feel, okay, I'm done with it. Sometimes we see people say, if I don't pray, it's like a headache. But it is not supposed to be said. Rather, instead of calling it as a, considering it to be a headache or something like a cloud over a person's head, a person looks at Salah, I need to converse and communicate with my Creator 5 times. I'm going to talk to my Allah today. I am going to talk to my Allah for Dhuhr. We'll have a conversation with him. And when he starts looking at Salah in that manner, it starts to mentally prepare him. When he starts to recite, he starts to consider himself to be, I am talking to my Allah. I'm talking to my Allah. According to the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, when a person recites Suratul Fatiha, whenever he recites a single verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that servant. And when he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to him. And when a person reminds this to himself before he starts, I am going to communicate with my Allah, it is going to bring spirit and life to his Salah, respected brothers. It is going to bring spirit and quality to his Salah. And again, looking at Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, when he conversed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he met him, at the time he was receiving his prophethood, that was the first meeting he had. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. O Musa, establish salah to remember me. So salah is a moment to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment that remembrance takes place in the right manner, as mentioned earlier, peace and comfort is enjoyed by that person. So number one is looking at Salah as a meeting with our Rabb, our Creator. He has given us so many different bounties without us asking for. We are going to converse with Him in Salah. Number two is, in order to mentally prepare ourselves before Salah, is to get rid of distractions. To get rid of distractions. Today we are living in a world full of distractions. None of us is. Sometimes when we talk to youngsters, they say it's very difficult for us to have a long attention span. Attention spans have shrunk. It's a couple of minutes. Even elders have started to say this. Why? Because of our lifestyle. The time we invest in our devices has shrunk our attention span. To do a particular task for a longer period of time has become challenging for many today. Now comes distraction before Salah. How does this happen? Let's say somebody is coming to the masjid to perform his Salah. Alhamdulillah, he's going to join the Jama'ah and he's going to perform his Salah. Till the Iqamah is called, he has time. So during this time, let's say somebody takes his mobile phone out and he starts to drop messages, the pending messages. He has to reply to certain people. He needs to drop certain messages. He starts to do this just before his Salah. And then what happens? The Iqamah is called and he goes to join the Salah. And now what happens? Shaitan comes after the Iqamah is called and it's the human nature surfaces. Now his thought starts to think, okay, what is my client going to reply to that message? What is my wife going to say to this? I've dropped this message to my son, what is he going to say? and will I receive the email right now or not? I don't know whether they will make a call while I am in salah or not. Respected brothers, all of us experience different thoughts according to our commitments in life. That's reality. So what happens here is, it affects the person's concentration in salah. Therefore, as a discipline, we need to have certain principles in life. For example, one is putting the phone on silent before salah. But if the phone is vibrating, that also breaks the concentration. Phone is not ringing. We are concerned about the other person's salah being disturbed because of the ringing tone. Yes? But what if the phone is vibrating and I can sense it? Now I start thinking, okay, this could be the business contact who was supposed to call me. Oh, yeah, I'm in salah now. Am I going to miss the deal? What's going to happen? All this running in our minds. So, it's better to have a buffer before we start salah. Consciously, we decided to pray dhuhr, we come to the masjid or at home, wherever we are, at least a 5-minute buffer away from devices. Just to start pondering, now I'm going to talk to my Creator. What type of du'as can I make? And ponder for some minutes, few minutes, about perfecting salah. Another thing is, respected brothers, before salah begins, is a moment of reflection which could be done maybe a minute or two. It is like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. He said, Salli salata muwadda. Pray like a person who is bidding farewell. Imagine the Malakul Maut was to come and tell us, this is going to be your last salah in your life. Imagine how much quality will be there in that salah. It's not going to happen, but imagine if we were told that this is your last salah. We are going to be conscious. We will forget the world. We will forget our family. We will forget everything because we want to get the maximum closeness to Allah through that salah. And none of us know whether that particular salah which we are about to perform is the last salah. Some prayed Isha, didn't wake up for Fajr. Some prayed Fajr, didn't live till Dhuhr. And they left us. A day will come, we will also leave in the same way. And that last prayer was our last prayer. So before we start, if we can consciously think, what if this is my last salah? This is the last sajda in my life. The last rak'ah in my life. The last suratul fatiha in my life. The last time I'm going to ask Allah Rabb, for forgiveness. So that is before salah begins. Now while in salah, or the salah commence, there are many points, respected brothers. There are books written on these things, like the inner dimensions of salah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has written books. There are many other books available, but just selecting a few which we believe we will be able to practice at least a point or two. While the salah is going on, we enter into salah, Allahu Akbar, and the communication with our Creator starts. Scholars of Tazkiyatul Nafs, into purifying the soul, they have given different techniques. One of the practical ones, or easy ones we can take home with us, is in each posture in salah, if we can remind ourselves that Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me, minimum thrice. It is not from the sunnah to say it is thrice, but to start off with, because sometimes, like an elderly person said, we don't know what is in front of us. We are standing in front of the musalla, and we don't know what is in the place of sajada, because our minds are wandering somewhere else. We don't know that we are in front of a musalla, because our mind is wandering. It's going all over the world, and we don't know what's in front of us. Only when we move to ruku, we come up, we go for sujood, then we remember, oh, I'm doing sujood now. That's it. But if we can recall three things, either Allah is watching me, that is the highest level, which we call ihsan, or Allah is listening to me. While I'm reciting, وَجَّهْتُ وَجِهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ, a person says, Allah is listening to me, my Creator is listening to me, and he recites. And then, another way of looking at it is, Allah is listening to me, Allah is watching me. These are two ways we can. And in addition to this, respected brothers, while we are in salah, it is also important for us to be respectful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in speech and in action while in salah. How? What if somebody is speaking, when it comes to a language, sometimes we are very particular about speaking a language fluently. We don't want to make mistakes when we talk to a person who is fluent in that language. We make sure there shouldn't be grammatical mistakes. It's good. It's good to learn languages. That's a different story. But when it comes to the Quran, if we are to ask ourselves, I am reciting Suratul Fatiha and my Rabb, my Creator is listening to me, how do I grade my Suratul Fatiha? Am I respectful to my Allah in my speech? If I am mispronouncing something, it is like I am being disrespectful to Him. Somebody might, when we see someone struggle to speak a particular language, we might be polite to him and he might say, brother, you can speak in a language you are comfortable, don't trouble yourself. Because it's difficult to have a proper conversation with that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to do that to us, but respected brothers, tajweed. If those who are yet to perfect your tajweed, go ahead and look for avenues and do it. But when you learn to perfect the recitation of the Quran, remind yourself, Ya Allah, I am learning tajweed so that I can be respectful to you in my salah. I want to talk to you in the best of pronunciations. That is why I am learning tajweed. We look at it from a different perspective. And then, the hardship we undergo while trying to perfect our recitation, that will become sweet for us. And Allah, according to the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who struggles, who pauses, and he recites the Quran, he gets double the reward compared to a person who reads the Quran smooth, easily, because of the hardship. So learning, it's sometimes the process is going to be full of challenges, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't go for it and face that challenge. So why am I doing it? To be respectful to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my speech. And in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to the Quran of the reciter who recites it in a melodious voice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to the qira'at of a person who recites the Quran melodiously. So if we are learning, Ya Allah, I want you to listen to my qira'at. I want you to listen to my Quran, Ya Allah. That is why I am learning tajweed. Number two is, respected brothers, with regard to respect in action. So one day a sahabi comes to the masjid, and he sees that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the state of ruku'ah. He was bowing. And then when he entered the masjid, he feared that he will miss the raka'ah. All of us know we need to join the imam before the imam comes up from the ruku'ah. And this sahabi feared it, and he started his prayer all alone in a particular row in the masjid. He was alone. And then after he started his salah, he comes and joins the saf. So why did he join? His intentions were good. He didn't want to miss the raka'ah. That is why he did it. And he starts to walk. And he joins the saf with the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the salah was over, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to the congregation and he asked, who amongst you did this? He said, Ya Rasulallah, I did it. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zadat Allahu hirsan wa la ta'ud. He told the sahabi, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your eagerness, your enthusiasm, your eagerness is welcome. Zadat Allahu hirsan, may Allah increase it. Wa la ta'ud, but don't repeat what you did. In another hadith we have been taught, don't run to the masjid. When you walk, walk with dignity. Scholars write, because when we are to run or when we are to rush to the masjid, it is going to affect our salah. And while in salah, respected brothers, there was another instance, a sahabi was praying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was observing his salah. After salah he said, "Tirji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli." Go back, repeat your prayer, you didn't pray. The Sahabi prayed and is about to leave the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him for the second time. "Tirji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli." Go back, repeat your salah. The Sahabi went, he prayed again. After the second time, repeat, and he was called again. He said, "Go back, repeat your prayer." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I don't know better way than this to perform my salah." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created the thirst in that Sahabi's mind to learn how to pray. And when he said, "I don't know a better version than this," and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught how to pray. He said, in each posture, in ruku, in i'tidal, in sujood, the sitting postures between the two sujood, all these postures, you need to stay calm. You need to stay calm in those postures. And if you don't pause in those postures, your salah is not valid. And there are so many other ahadith, even standing upright and straight, unless a person is sick, that's an exception. But those who are healthy, in i'tidal, after the takbiratul ihram, the posture in which we stand, too, is mentioned in the hadith. This is being respectful to Allah in action. Where do I keep my hands in sujood, in ruku? All this. When we learn it, we are basically learning, "Ya Allah, I want to be respectful to you." When we go to a higher authority, there's a particular way we have been taught to stand. How to keep your hands. And we make sure we do that. So respected brothers, this is while in salah, we need to make sure we take time and perform our salah. If we really need to check on how much of patience we have in salah, one of the easiest ways of doing the test is for us to pray 2 rak'ahs. And then go to each posture and see how long can we stay there. We just finished Ramadan. And then in Qiyamul Layl, all of us experienced long ruku, long sujood. But now Ramadan is over. But what about those long ruku and long sujood? Let us ask ourselves, if I am in ruku, am I consciously coming up for i'tidal, or is it autopilot mode I'm coming up? Like someone said, the best action we do in autopilot mode and do it right is salah. Consciousness is sometimes nil, but the actions are performed well. You ask, "Brother, are you sure that you prayed 4 rak'ah? He will say, "Yes, I am sure I prayed 4. "Yes, you know the number, you did all that right, but you did all autopilot. You are consciously not in salah." And when we recite each recitation in salah, respected brothers, learn the meanings of those. We might have to take time for all that, but let us invest some time and learn what exactly we are saying. Imagine a person prayed for 60 years and he still doesn't know Suratul Fatiha, the meaning of that surah. He needs to ask himself, where does he stand? Where does he stand? Yes, Allah may reward him for the salah, but the conversation between me and the Creator, who is the most merciful, most loving and caring, if I don't know what I am telling him, it is something serious. To conclude with, the salam is given, salah is done. Now it's the moment to learn, discipline ourselves, to sit in the place where we performed our salah and take time and recite the zikr after salah. For some it might take 5 minutes, sometimes 7 minutes, it doesn't matter. But it's a moment to sit and then ask Allah, "Allah, just finish my salah, accept it from me." This, we need to observe our children pray, and we as adults are accountable for our actions, but when it comes to training our children, we also need to be conscious. Sometimes mothers and fathers will tell their little one, maybe 8, 9 years old, "Puta, go pray. Son, go and pray." The son goes to the washroom, he comes out in a flash. Goes to the room, he pulls out a musalla, he's out in a flash. "Did you pray?" "Yes, I prayed." "Okay, now you can watch cartoon. Now you can go and play with your friends." As parents, respected brothers, we need to be observant. How long did you take to perform your wudu? Go back. Do it again. Repeat. I need to see you taking wudu. You have to train them. And when he starts to pray, we need to consciously observe. Is he rushing in salah? Does he know the number of raka'at? But does he know what he's reciting? We need to observe. How come you prayed 4 raka'at in 1 minute? His parents, we can ask this. Because we need to train our youngsters today. Because if this child who is 9 years is finishing 4 raka'at in 2 minutes, and he becomes 16, Allah knows best. Parents, we are responsible. And we are not going to be, we shouldn't burden them, or we have to be nice to them. We have to encourage them, talk to them about the virtues, talk to them about what they are saying in Surah Al-Fatiha. Increase that love. Because tomorrow we need a younger generation who is, today we see a 16-year-old, the mother has to remind him to pray. 18-year-old son, 21-year-old son doing his degree, he comes from class, did you pray today? No, mama, I didn't pray. Go pray your qada, duha and asr. 21 still reminding him to pray. That's the stage. So from their little age, from their small, tender age, we can talk to them about the virtues of salah, the importance of concentration in salah, and all these aspects what we have learned today. Insha'Allah ta'ala, a time will come, our children will be driving us in their vehicles, and they will say, it's time for us to pray, and they will stop the car. We will not stop the car. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the sweetness in salah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to perfect the salah before we meet Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the promises He has kept in salah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take our souls in a manner which He is in a state that He is pleased with us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us a noble death. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.
அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும் வரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹி வபரகாத்துஹு. மேலும் இது போன்ற இன்னும் பல பயான்களை www.acmyc.com எனும் இஸ்லாமிய இணையதளத்தினூடாக நீங்களும் டவுன்லோட் செய்து கொள்ள முடியும். அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும் வரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹி வபரகாத்துஹு.